The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
The 23rd of December, tomorrow being the 24th, and Christmas Eve. It went awfully fast this year, but what an intense year it was. And we will have to wait and see how it unfolds next year, which is just around the corner. Just around the corner right now, we're going down to Missouri to the Ozarks to talk to Dean Henderson, our resident organic liberal, who is all over the internet and in terms of writing, and he guests on Press TV and other video outlets, and one day we're going to go video here at Rents, and we'll have everybody on video. Dean, welcome back, and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thanks, Jeff. Same to you and yours as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Vladimir Putin held his annual marathon with the media over there. And I wish I had time to sit down and watch all of it. He always has some pretty fascinating things to say. He followed up a warm letter to Donald Trump with a more terse message to the U.S. Democrat Party on Friday. "Don't blame me for your November drubbing," he said. President-elect Trump on Friday released the December 15th note from Putin, who Democrats blame for tilting the election. Trump won against Hillary Clinton and called it a very nice letter. So how do you see the potential of stepping back from the brink of possible armed conflict on a mass scale? It looks like Trump wants to work with Putin for whatever the reasons ultimately may be. Corey Lewandowski held a news brief with someone. It was on Video Fox, and he had a big sign. This is a big indicator. On his lapel, he had a U.S. and a Russian friendship pin, which was a very big pointer at where things may go. What are your thoughts on that? Can we get along with Russia to the betterment of the world?
Well, I hope so. It'd be a breath of fresh air, wouldn't it?
And a change, too.
Yeah, huge change. So, yeah, I hope so. I mean, then there's also the, on the other side, he's calling for bigger nuclear arsenal, which is dumb.
Yeah, that is really
against the Palestinians, which is dumb, because the Russians don't like the Israelis too much.
No.
Memo to Trump, and they're really good friends with the Iranians, and, you know, can Flynn learn to get over his phobia of Iran? I mean, there's so many questions we just don't know right now.
We don't know.
But I think the Russians have a full 100% wish to get along with the U.S. And I think, you know, Trump probably does too. It's just the people around him, the National Security Agency, the CIA, don't. And the military-industrial complex needs that conflict, needs the war machine to keep going so they can make a bunch of money.
I hate to agree with you, but I do.
You know, this bucking the trend, it's going to be real hard. You know, everybody, I think, knows that. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, to hear Podesta squirming and squealing on the Sunday shows is pretty funny. And, you know, it's so lame to blame the Russians for stealing this election. It's just Hillary Clinton's a terrible, evil candidate. And anybody that buys the Russian narrative have stolen the election. Well, they're conspiracy theorists, Jeff, for God's sake. Isn't it funny?
They really are.
Isn't it funny? Because that's what they want to call us. But they're fake news and they're conspiracy theorists, too, we find out.
Isn't that the truth?
The DNC crowd.
God.
But, you know, it's hopeful. You know, the Russians took care of things in Aleppo. That's a really good thing for the Syrian people, for that whole region.
For humanity. It was a great
humanity.
Thing. Yeah.
They're getting along with the Turks, which, of course, the assassination is trying to derail that, but Putin knows what's going on, so does Erdogan. And the Turks are going to publish my big oil book in Turkish language all of a sudden, so I take that as kind of a good sign.
Really? Congratulations, Dean.
But I don't think that would happen, you know, had the conditions not changed in Turkey to where they're tilting towards the Russians, you see.
Right.
And now they want all this stuff coming out. So, you know, I worry about Tillerson, honestly, of course, because, I mean, you know, it's what the book's about is, you know, the four horsemen and ExxonMobil is one of them. So, he likes Russia. He gets along with Putin. That part's great. You know, and if he goes over there with good intentions, great. But, you know, if he's still working for the Rockefeller Rothschild Combine, which is what that outfit is, and he just wants to go steal their oil, well, Putin's not going to fall for that kind of crap.
No,
and he won't. They're not going to. They also have the dignity. They're not going to accept any sort of second level relationship. It's going to have to be equal. It's going to have to be fair. And you know, so there's so many things up in here. We just don't know right now what's going to happen. I've heard these rumors swirling about Rothschild and Soros having a falling out. And Soros is behind Clinton. And Rothschild's behind Trump. And you know, I'm still skeptical. Let's just say, you know, but I wish them the best, and I hope whoever you know is in there has some guts and goes against these people, even if you know they were paying some bills for them for a while.
Yeah, I think what we have to look at here, and I was very discouraged that the U.S. today under President Obama. I'm not sure Trump would have done it differently, though, but they didn't support the Palestinian people at the UN.
Well, yeah. I mean, Obama kind of did, though. I mean, by not voting. And that was historic. That was the first time the Security Council has ever voted that Israeli settlements were illegal. I mean, the General Assembly's voted that many times, you know, like 224-1 with the U.S. usually abstaining.
Yeah.
And, they did abstain, and they should have voted, you know, with everyone else, but just even the fact that he abstained, I guess, to start. But, yeah, then that's disappointing to see Trump come out and pretty much say he shouldn't have. And you know, that he's appointing this ambassador to Israel who looks like just a total nutcase, right wing.
I agree with that. I don't get that pick at all.
You know, it's just, like I say, it's just...
it's a mixed bag.
Nobody knows right now. I mean, honest political analyst right now worth his salt would just say, you know what, I just don't know. I just don't know what's
going to happen. Trying to put that message out myself, and I agree.
We've
got to wait.
It's crazy times, but, you know, at least it's going to be different, right? So
that I think that's healthy.
It is.
I think it is.
Generally, at least healthy. Yep.
If Trump, I liken this to a pro sports franchise, and he's the head coach. These guys may have played for other people in the past and done other things, but if they come around and do what they're told, if Trump is the leader we hope he is and holds them to it, they have the background and the clout to make things happen under his aegis. Let's find out. We got to wait. We got to wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. And the key being if, you know, a lot of ifs. But we're going to find out, aren't we? You know, we're just going to find out.
I think we all And again, when I talk about Christmas, I'm including everyone. Christmas is a season of not necessarily strict religious connotation. It's a season of goodness, kindness, caring, and giving, no matter what your persuasion may or may not be. And I think we all got a present here. All American citizens got a present, whatever nationality they come from. It doesn't matter. We got to change. And if we put those people, the Clintons, back in the White House and put Bill the Rapist in charge of the American economy, Dean, can you even begin to imagine? If they looted the country with the foundation at sex state level, what would they do when she's in the White House?
Yeah, that's right. That's the main thing. We got rid of them, and I think the Clintons and the Bushes are both done now. That dynasty thing isn't coming back, at least. And that is a really good thing. And then just the fact that you get a lot of people out for Sanders on the left who, you know, left the liberal and tired of the DNC. And the Clintons are the ones that took this party that way. They're the ones that, you know, took it to the right. And that's the problem with it. And that's the problem with them. It's not that they're left at all. It's that they're right and they're crooked.
Yeah, you know,
and people get that. Apparently, a lot of people get that now. So what's going to happen next time? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. But Democrats are the ones right now who really embarrassing themselves. The leaders of the Democratic Party embarrass themselves because sit there and whine and complain about the Russians when you should be looking at what did you do wrong. And it's obvious what they did wrong. But her name's Hillary Clinton, but they just won't admit that. And so, you know, you worry and you wonder what's going to happen. But, you know, like just like in my county here, you know, a bunch of young kids, Sanders kids have taken over the local Democrat Party now again.
Oh.
And so that's the way it's going to go on a lot of local levels, you see, I think. And so, yeah, because it's demographics. It's, you know, it's the millennials. It's, you know, they don't buy into all that stuff, that divide and conquer stuff, you know.
Right.
And
thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and there is this. There's still this possibility of this, I think, this right-left alliance, this Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich thing, you know, whatever, that takes some ideas from everybody, and then we can make it work, like the infrastructure. That's a Bernie Sanders idea, and I hope he does it. I hope Trump puts a pedal to the metal on that thing.
I couldn't agree more.
2 trillion, whatever he wants to do.
It's crucial. I'll spend as much as it takes to fix it.
Yeah.
Put Americans back to work.
Yeah, we need it at that level, and we need it at crumbling. It's an embarrassment driving around this country.
That's true.
And seeing how it's like a third world country. And we shouldn't settle for that, you know.
So no, we shouldn't have settled for a lot of things.
You know, and that's the government's, you know, that's one place the government can help, and that's where the left can help too, and tell people that, which they did, and that's where the idea comes from. So, you know, it's just hopefully people just grow up, man, and start talking adult conversation about how we want to handle this economy. Some's going to be private, some's going to be public, and but there's got to be that balance. There's got to be just common sense on each and every penny spent and person taxed and how it's done. So it's fair. It's not that hard, you know.
No,
it doesn't have to be, you know, this antagonistic, you know.
You said something
of
earlier.
The other side, you know, it's just, that's terrible. So
you said something earlier. I want to go back to you. And you made the point that the so-called Democrats are still bitching and whining and moaning.
So-called, right?
Yeah, so-called. And these people, and make no mistake about it, the Clinton cabal is right there at the top. Make no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there. They, I'm afraid, at least in the beginning, give Trump a year and maybe things in this country will turn around and many of these people will no longer buy into their crap.
Maybe.
So-called Democrats. Maybe. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Now,
this is the
yeah, here's the point. They put out, somebody sent this in, and I've got it posted. The Democrats, and I'm not talking about the Bernie people or the people who are out there on the left further, they have a voice. And I think, honestly, I think Trump is a fair man. He loves this country. He realizes that there is diversity here. I don't think he's going to screen those people out. I think he'll listen. I really do. Maybe that doesn't work for you, but I think he will listen.
No, why wouldn't it? Of course it does. That's all you need to do, listen and learn. And you know, he met with Bernie's potential VP choice gal. What's her name from Hawaii? The representative from Hawaii.
She's good.
With the weird name.
Yeah.
Which I'm not remembering right now. But yeah, she's really good, and she's really feisty, and she's an Iraqi war vet, and She's not politically correct, but she's a real hardcore lefty, man, on things. And she says what she thinks. And that's, I think he respects that. I think he's the kind of person who respects that. I mean, that's, he respected Bernie, man. You know, because Bernie, you know, up until the very end, when weird things happened, which we can't explain, you know, he told it like it was. And Trump, you know, many times said that, you know, said that he really liked Bernie. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff we need. You know, that, and hopefully he will go that direction on some of his appointments. And he hasn't yet, you know, honestly. And, you know, there's some disappointments. Goldman Sachs is well represented so far.
Well, they are. And I'm giving him...
Post or whatever, but, you know, I'm just saying.
I'm giving him... well, that's what you're here for. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. And let's see. You got to have heavyweights to go up against heavyweights. You can't throw lightweights again to these Goldman Sachs sharks.
No.
He's got the people, and if they follow the playbook, things could get to be very interesting.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Here it is, Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard, that's it. That's it. Yep, yep.
I think she's got a real future, and she may end up in the Trump organization. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe, but, and, you know, a lot of those kids did, those Sanders kids did vote for Trump, and that could very well be what put him over the top. We don't know.
I mean, that's a reasonable point.
Yeah. But it is, and because so it'd be great. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. We get, you know, it's coming right up. And hopefully, yeah, we can just keep from World War III.
Jeez, we dodged a nuclear bullet, Dean.
Yeah.
We were headed to World War III.
I know. It's crazy. And even right at the end, Obama lifts the restrictions on the arms, you know, flow to the rebels. And
he hadn't changed his stripes. No way.
Russia. Yeah. He's getting more belligerent, you know, in fact. All the time.
And thank you.
You know, what's up with that? I mean, when you want it on your way out, at least, but, you know, that's
I'm not. I will. Let me add on to what you just very wisely counseled. I don't think the guy is done. He just unloaded 1,500 battle tanks in Denmark. He could pull a false flag and try and incite Russia into a regional war. Mm-hmm. He could do anything. I think that the guy seriously is mentally ill.
Yep.
I don't put anything past him.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's taking orders from the banksters, man.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's
he doesn't,
the thing. So,
no, he knows he's not going to be accountable for any of these. He's being strings are being yanked. All right. And I do think you're also right about fractions. These people are fragmented at the top. There's two or three, maybe two big ones and one smaller one. The globalists, I don't think they're cohesive. I don't think they're coalesced. I think they're split. I think you're right.
I hope so. I hope they're split a lot. That would help. Because that's what they try to do to us all the time. Divide, divide, divide. And it works, unfortunately, a lot of times. But it would be nice to see them divided for a change.
I could more.
Yep. How's the weather out there? Are you getting any snow for Christmas?
It may. It's cold. And a few wet flakes today and rain and... It's okay. Yeah. It's good. I'd rather see rain than drought. And unfortunately, we got this damn radiation, which is never going to go away. And now we're getting reports and videos. I don't think you've seen them, but in Point Loma, San Diego, the tide pools, there's nothing left. They look like they're on Venus. There's nothing left. Up by Santa Cruz, nothing left in the tide pools, Dean. They're dead. They've been scrubbed of life. So we got things. And if the EPA will just sit down and for once say Fukushima and tell us what we're facing, they'll immediately have credibility that they have never had before. They've got to quit lying about this stuff.
Has Trump really made me sick. The EPA person yet?
He did. And the guy doesn't like the EPA, which is great. Mm-hmm. So let's see what he does.
Maybe he'll do it.
Maybe. But this is an enormous... It's a catastrophe. It's beyond measure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
here's a story. The Democrats... Remember, these are not the legitimate left of our political spectrum. These are Democrats. These people are... This is Pizzagate. These people are sick. I don't like them at all. They allegedly are putting together a plan, a battle plan, a playbook of their own to try to destroy Trump every step of the way, block him, hassle him. Here's the strategy. I got this from somebody online. We will uncover the corruption in everything Donald Trump does. We will call out Trump's wholesale handover of our government to big business. We will expose Trump for his complete and utter betrayal of populist promises he made as a candidate. He hadn't even had a chance to break them yet. We will organize people from around the country to stand up to Trump's hate and lies. We will make sure our allies in the Senate block passage of any extremist corporate agenda that would sacrifice hard-won health and safety protections, basic norms of justice and equality, and our planet's sustainability to further enrich the corporate class. And wherever and whenever we can, we will sue to block Trump's unconstitutional power grabs. Well, have they ever noticed how Obama cautioned Trump, warned him about passing and signing too many executive orders? Was that a backslapper or what? Trump, who is ground out no executive orders, Obama, more than any other president, I mean, literally acting like a demagogue, just signing these things, and yet warning Trump not to do it. It's strange to me. This whole thing is strange.
Oh, it's so hard to even, I don't know. The conversation is so skewed in the corporate media because they're still, you know, I call it, we're the fake news and they're the whatever, but they're the fake news. And so they have to call us fake news because they know they're fake news because they were busted the way they covered this election so bad, had it so wrong. And then, of course, they have to blame the Russians. And so it's all just indicators of psychopathy, sociopathy. And you basically, you're something and so you have to say everybody else is that thing, you see.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're doing, you know, and they're projecting their psychosis onto us, you know, and onto whoever. And
it's all reverse projection.
Go out into the world right now. It's just too stupid to go out in the world right now.
Reverse projection is all that's their game.
Yeah. Reverse projection. That's it. Yeah.
And it was. I got to admit, it didn't work, but it was kind of clever of them to create the concept of fake news, which is what they do, what they make their living at, and
clever,
try and paste it on us.
It was very clever, though. Johnny was very clever, wasn't he? Yeah. Man, that's the word clever.
I definitely laughed at that one.
Evil can be clever at times, I guess. But, it's pretty funny. I don't think too many people are buying it.
So. No. No, at least
to the corporate media anymore for anything.
No. We got a split in this country, and we have to take a break here. But the split is basically so-called conservatives, and I want to include the Brinchley in that group and separate out the so-called Democrats. And I think they're the most malignant group by far in this country right now. They will not heal. They will not work together with anybody. They're wrong. They've been, it's just like the snowflakes. They're crying. They're crying in their beer.
Yeah, they did the same thing to Obama, though. These damn Republicans for years. So they're all a bunch of losers, man. Let's go with some winners. Let's hope Trump's one of them. Just ordinary. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
I'm with you, brother.
I hate them all.
Yeah, hold on. I know. It's cool.
Right out. We'll be back. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Good job. Be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Talking Dean Henderson, our first hour on this Friday, the 23rd of December. Already, the year's over. That went by real fast, Dean, about 6 months maybe. That was it. Zoom.
Yeah.
Here's another angle, and you raised the issue, and any sane person would. And I kind of like what Trump says about it. Stephen Lenman wrote this. U.S. nuclear proliferation, a doomsday scenario. Last summer, Obama, writes Lenman, said he, quote, strives for a world without nuclear weapons, end quote. But at the same time, he approved $1 trillion to upgrade America's nuclear arsenal over the next 30 years.
Yep.
Maybe several fold that amount. We don't know how cost overruns are. It could be several. But this amount is huge, and it's madness. Now, Trump on Twitter said the United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes.
Yeah.
All right?
But you know,
he said one other thing. He said, he added, let it be an arms race. We will outmatch our adversaries at every pass and outlast them all, thinking, obviously, that he will bring them to the table and ultimately maybe get to the point where we can truly begin to disarm. We never should have used the atom to do anything. Leave it alone. That was our biggest mistake on this planet, nuclear power being at the top of it.
Yeah.
So it's a conundrum. It's a problem. It's not going to go away. I hate to see stories where the Russians are going to build more nuclear power plants with anybody. It's just nuts. We don't need nuclear power. It's crazy. You got a plant with a 40-year life, and you got debris, nuclear fuel rods that are spent that have to be taken care of for 50,000 years. Where's the logic? There is none.
No. It's the nuclear waste. All you have to know is that you can't get rid of it. And after that, you don't have to know anything else about nuclear power to know it's a dumb idea, right?
Yep.
You'd think. But, you know, these people don't care. They're terraforming for the aliens or whatever they're doing. They want to destroy us. They want to kill us.
Well, they are the real terrorists, in my view. They're corporate terrorists.
You know, it's like Obama. Yeah, it talks like, you know, it's like they used to do in Latin America. You know, they'd run a social democrat by you for a while, like Duarte in El Salvador. He kind of had the soft hand. He talked nice, but he still had death squads. And then when that got old, they'd bring in Roberto de Albizon or somebody, and he'd just be an outright fascist and run the death squads. And
bad guy.
And
bad.
That's
guy.
How I compare, you know, Obama to Trump's statements. It's both ignorance, you know.
Right.
It's ignorant to be, you know, coming into power and just being all bellicose about nuclear weapons. We got 10, I don't know, probably 100 times more nuclear weapons than any other country.
Right.
We got more military might than the next 10 countries below us.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get off of this trip that we're on about, you know, policing the world and being a superpower? You know, that's what you'd like to hear. So, you know, again, that to me, that's a very disappointing statement from Trump, okay? And, I mean, it's just ignorance.
Right.
And it's like, okay, and then on the other hand, yeah, he's, I don't know.
I'd rather hear him talk about the Samson option. How that has to be dismantled.
Let's talk about the infrastructure thing you're talking about. You know, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, coming into power.
You're right. That was Bernie's.
Unite people and get people back together. And
it's doable. It's doable.
And basically switch away from the military industrial complex and put that into infrastructure. You know, and so that kind of, you know. That's
military, industrial, media, congressional, complex.
Pharmaceutical, hospital, insurance companies. Anyway, the cartel, the oligarchy. It's just the oligarchy is what it is. And we just got to get a break from that. And that's going to be the test, you know, right? I mean, that's going to be the test with Trump. You know, is he the populist savior who came first to the Alex Jones show and, you know, caught the attention of the conspiracy crowd, or was it always just a smoke and mirrors job in Resorts International and the Rothschilds? And I just don't know yet. I still don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I don't think I just say anybody that claims to know. Either way, you know, you know the people that just run Trump down and say there's no hope. They're wrong. But the people that everything Trump does is good, they're just as wrong.
You
always have to have a critical mind and pick it through it and analyze it. And
we need a high. He's got to have
right,
100.
You know, go for the right thing. You know, no matter conservative, liberal, whatever you want to call it. I mean, is it going to be the right thing? And you know, the nuclear thing. No, I mean that's not the right thing.
Nope.
We don't need to be doing that. And you know, I wish nobody was building nuclear plants. Iranians are doing it. Other countries are doing it. They're poor. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, until we have a more equitable world, until we get the energy cartel knocked out, you know, like ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson.
Well, the sad thing about
solar, replace it with alternative energy, which is there, which is doable.
Yes.
Until we have technology transfer to these poor countries from corporations that set up shop there, get money from the IMF, half goes to the elite, half goes to them.
Right.
The people get nothing but debt and a few meager paying jobs until that changes. I mean, all these, it's a basic structural economy of the whole world has to change if Trump's going to be the guy. And that, you know, the last person who talked that way was Kennedy. Again, you know, and
that's a good point. Very good point. You know, nuclear power has never been profitable. Never.
Yeah.
Ever.
No, it's not. It's not either. And I guess to the people that build the plants, last I checked, Chevron actually builds a lot of those nuclear power plants. And Bechtel. Mm. But they're tight. Those same board of directors on those companies.
Well, that's musical chairs again.
But...
Yeah, let's give him 100 days, and then you and I will talk.
Give him 100 days.
And we'll have a real indicator.
I'm hoping for the best. I really am.
Well.
Because, you know, why wouldn't I guess?
Why would? No, that's the best answer.
Or Obama's not my president. Guess what? Obama is your president right now, and Trump's going to be your president, so you might as well just fucking live in reality and deal with it, okay? And grow up and quit pouting about it, you know?
Yeah, I'm sick of that.
You know, it makes me sick when both sides do it, and both sides always do it. There's always a faction of both sides that always do it, and it's just sickening, and it's like, I don't know, that's part of the problem of this whole country. You know, we can't ever get together on anything because, yeah, gridlock, and I don't know. Now the Republicans got the whole thing, so, you know, they got it all, so let's see what they got, you know, that's the thing. And obviously, from a progressive point of view, guy that doesn't want to see our national parks privatized and wilderness areas privatized and, you know, gold coming out of the Bob Marshall Wilderness and whatever, you know, the Siskiyou National Forest going up to auction to the highest bidder and the Koch brothers buy that. I mean, you know, that's the kind of things that worry me, you know, right now. Because it's not just Trump. It's like they got the whole thing now. And that Ayn Rand kind of crazy right philosophy is still, you know, where it's at for a lot of these people, including Jones and a lot of these people, you know. And it's just like, it's just stupidity. This whole libertarian, it's fake libertarian, because they don't even know what libertarian means, you know, these people. But they think they're libertarians, and they think libertarianism means handing over all the public good and resources to corporations and bankers and Rothschilds, I guess. That's what I don't understand. That's what I worry about.
Right.
Because they got the whole thing now, so there's not going to be any gridlock this time. I mean, there's not going to be anybody to stop. Like, you know, they stopped all Obama stuff. Not that he tried very hard to get anything decent through anyway. It was mostly horrible. But whatever he did that was halfway decent, and domestically, there was a few things. And block, block, block. So, and, you know, it's been like that forever. So now we're going to have a situation where you got the Senate, you got the House, you got Trump. And
no excuses.
No excuses. Let's see what you got. And, again, hope for the best. But
I agree. Well said. I really would love to see this country come together and bloom and rebuild itself.
Yeah.
And I just...
That kind of thinking, you know, just progressive outlook. It's funny, you know, progressive, conservative. I'm a progressive. I'm a lefty. I don't like the word liberal. I don't know what that means. It smacks of like Hollywood filth and yuck. And I'm a progressive, but, you know, there's a lot of conservative and progressive things. And you know, to be conserved with your money, but to look forward, to always look progressively forward to the, you know, how can we make this country better, you know, and doesn't have to be, you know, but there's a lot of, it's just one of those ironies, you know, that really progressive and conservative, there's a lot of similarities there. I mean, I'm a very conservative person in my personal life, you know, very conservative, but I'm a progressive on my political side and looking forward. You know, not looking backward to the good old days, because there never really was any good old days, man. I mean, it was even worse before this, and it's at least, I mean, maybe for the last 20 years we've been sort of spiraling downward again, I'd say, or 30. Yeah, it's been pretty bad, but up until then, at least, you know, I mean, our standards of living went up, our life expectancy went up. I mean, people weren't, you know, dying of malaria in Kentucky or whatever, you know, and things are getting better, and, you know, so we got to keep that going now, and I'm just afraid that the last 30, 40 years, the reason that we are starting getting worse is because they've embraced this Ayn Rand crazy right-wing philosophy, privatized everything, and they're not done with it yet. And that's what, again, that's what worries me. Where does this end? You know, where does this massive consolidation of wealth in the hands of the few end?
You know? It's never ended before.
It's gotten worse, you know, yeah. Just in the last, you know, it got better for quite a while. I mean, up until the 60s, 70s even.
You know, well, those were the good old days.
They were. That was the height of it, really, right? Yeah. And, you know, and the reason that was the height of it, and people on the right won't admit this, but it was labor unions. It was because people were getting really good pay.
And you got it.
A two-car garage and a station wagon and go on a trip or two on every year and some time off. And so when's the value of the worker going to matter again? You know, and if it doesn't, then where is this going to continue on this downward spiral that we're on? And until the worker gets respect, the person that gets his hands dirty, the person that takes, you know, they talk about job creators. Well, you know, what about the wealth creators? I mean, that's the workers. That's the people in the trenches, you know, making the money for the construction magnate, you know, who,
sure.
is in
sure.
my experience, pretty much sits in a pickup and drives around most of the day.
That's what
Not
they do.
He doesn't have to make some decisions, but hey, let's get real. The people that put the plug in that dam or whatever they did that day were the workers. And there's no respect for working people in America or anywhere anymore.
No.
And that's a big problem.
No. No. And we also need antitrust laws.
We also need antitrust really bad. That's a good point. It was a huge point. And that'll be another thing I'll judge Trump on, you know. And he has made some comments towards Lockheed Martin about this fighter, towards Boeing.
Oh, listen, let me ask, hold on. I want to get your comment on this. I was so heartened by his statements to Lockheed and Boeing about this,
yep.
this horrible F-35 trillion dollar turkey. He said, I want to see lined out costs on, let's upgrade the F-18 Super Hornet, give it new avionics, computers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That plane is a great platform. So is the F-16. We don't need the F-35. It is a pile of junk. Now, the Israelis are buying them, but we're paying for it, you and I, tax dollars. We're giving them money to buy F-35s, and they'll make them good. They'll make them better. They'll improve them. That's what they always do.
That's what we want to do, you know, give our best fighter technology to the Israelis.
That's
and
what we do.
That's what we want to do, right? I mean, isn't that just ridiculous? I heard that story. It was like, oh, and the Israelis have already taken delivery, and I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, that's just a national security
threat. That means they're already redesigning them. They're already improving them. It's true. What he did with the Air Force One scam.
Yep.
He said, shove it to Boeing. Shove it.
And he's talked about blocking the, Time Warner and...
Yes.
Somebody. The big
These media, are unprecedented yeah. comments when you think about it.
So just, who knows?
You know.
It'll be interesting. I wonder if he's picked anybody to run the... what would that be? The FCC? No, that's more communications. I'm trying to think of who did that.
I haven't heard anything about him appointing anybody to the FCC.
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, it just needs to be definitely just...
When the Clintons deregulated and allowed the oligarchs to go into a city and buy 90% of the media, that was the end.
Yep.
Of our right to know, our chance to know... That took it away.
Yeah. So. Repeal Glass-Steagall at the same time. And that was huge. And, you know, so the banks merged. And that's, they got to go after the banks. And that ultimately, again, that's the thing. I mean, antitrust right on up to the Federal Reserve. That's the biggest trust.
Is he serious about
trust in
taking on the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I don't know, you know. And, you know... if we don't, I just don't see any way out of it until we take on the Federal Reserve, because most of that debt we owe is to them, not to the Chinese.
Totally
or the
unconstitutional, totally illegal.
Small bondholder or anybody else. And totally, and just a parasite and a weight on our progress. I mean, it's like going through life with this huge 200-pound weight, dragging it behind you. You know, and they get to eat caviar and go to the New York Cosmopolitan Club and eat filet mignon, and we get to what? So, tell people, you know, that's still the big one, and I don't know if we'll ever get there. Makes, you know, sometimes you wonder. times, but it's been a while. Again, Kennedy, Lincoln, people that died, you know. So it's big potatoes.
They, as I've said 100 times, they kill people all the time. Yep. They got no qualms with it. Now, yep. So far, we know of 3 attempts to kill Trump. How would you rate his, you know, we're still damn near a month away from the inauguration. And look what he's doing already. But what about his personal safety? Now, you saw that loon started screaming at Ivanka, and she had to be taken off the plane.
Yeah, on that plane, right?
Yeah. He's got a big family. He worries about that all the time.
Well, I know. I mean, I think the thing to watch is the bond market, weirdly enough, because the interest rates are going up, right?
Right.
And the way they did to Jimmy Carter, who wasn't a half-bad president, is they raise interest rates to like 12-15%, you know? I remember when I was like 13 years old, 14 maybe, I was working for these farmers, and, you know, my dad had died in that car wreck, and so I went to work for these other farmers when I was really young, and my mom got me into these 15% CDs when I was that age, you know?
Wow.
15% you can get on a CD.
Yeah.
But see, that's what they did to Carter. They raised interest rates to the point where he was just, there was nothing he could do, you know, and they didn't like him. So this is, are they going to do this to Trump? Because if you watch the bond market, the interest rates are going up every day. Every day they have.
That's a good indicator.
So if he gets out of line, in other words, does stuff they don't like too much, that's the first thing they're going to do, in other words. They're not going to kill him right away. That's too obvious, you know, and it'd cause trouble. And they'll try interest rates. They'll see if they can just give him all the trouble he can get with raising interest rates, I think. So I'd watch that, you know, and then we'll also know who he's, you know, if he's doing the right thing or the wrong thing. If rates gets to spiking, you know, he's doing the right stuff, and then, you know, people behind him, they better stand behind him. And if he starts doing the right stuff, I'll get behind him too. You know, I'm still going to see
story,
it. I mean,
the story,
I mean,
yesterday.
You know, I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't either. The story yesterday that economic confidence is said to be at an all-time historic high in this country now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still a month out.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me. Now, these are bankers that are, I mean, this comes from all quarters. Their confidence levels way up.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I know. Well, that's what kind of worries me a little bit, too, though. I mean, the bankers are that happy, you know.
I understand.
It's going to be good, you know. Cause it's almost like an inverse relationship. I remember when he first got elected that night, the Dow was down like 900, the futures.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit, Trump's the real deal.
Right.
And then ever since then, it's been, but you know, it's a lot of just, it's getting ahead of itself too. And of course, that's the next step.
That's another good observation. You just put your finger on another one. You're right.
And I think it, you know, it's got ahead, and you know, that's their thing that they can do to him, of course, just crash that market anytime they want. You know, if he gets, to doing the right things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. I mean, that's the hell of it. It's they got us in this catch-21, you know, where catch-22, where it's like, you know, most people don't understand that if the stock market's doing well, it generally means, you know, working people are getting crushed. I mean, they have it just the other way around in their heads because they're so brainwashed by the corporate media about that. You know,
yes.
That if the stock market's going up,
yes,
things are good.
Yeah.
But generally, when the stock market's going up, things are really bad.
Well, it's into loopy land now.
And it's in the loopy land now. Things are really bad for people. I mean, if you go out in the real world, you'll see that. I'm sure you do. Everybody does. And so that's the conundrum.
This goes back to what I said earlier. If after 1 year in office, things palpably, noticeably are better, even if not everyone is feeling it, if they can see it.
Yeah.
This is going to begin. This will be the beginning of the fulfillment of the Trump promise.
Yeah, exactly right. And even if the stock market's down 5,000 points or 10,000,
even
maybe,
absolutely,
it doesn't matter. But that's the thing: be able to feel it in your own pocketbook, be able to see those insurance rates on your car, your house going down. You know, see the price of bread going down. You know, see the better job possibilities in your area. Right, and then
absolutely.
You know, so that's exactly, and that's the real economy, and that's what usually does work in an inverse relationship with the stock market. I mean, again, the best days for the United States were 60s, 70s, it wasn't until like 1982 when the stock market started sort of parabolic rise. I mean, it was like a 1,200 points at that point, and it had been there since 1940 or something. Just kind of the same, see? Mm-hmm. And of course, their stocks didn't go up because they were paying their workers a decent wage because they actually had pensions for their, so, you know, because they didn't pay their executives 225 times what a worker got paid back then. They weren't, you know, wouldn't even been, you know, I mean, it would have been, it just wasn't acceptable to the culture at that time because people had some sense. And that is the rub. That's progress. I mean, that's the progressive part. And yeah, so as soon as, you know, wages start stagnating in the early mid '80s, stock market starts its meteoric rise, and people's lives, on the other hand, have gotten worse, steadily worse since that point, pretty much. So, you know, for a lot of people. So, yeah, that'll be. You're right. I mean, it's all the proof's in the pudding, and I think the infrastructure thing is going to be key. And, you know, got to get those jobs going.
You know, here's the summary of it. It can happen. It's possible. It can happen. He's got carte blanche now with the Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He gets to appoint Supreme Court people. What we found, I don't know if you buy into reverse speech or not, but we found for the last year and a half with David John Oates that Donald Trump really does love this country. He really cares about it. It's not an act.
I think so. I think it's like I say. It's we'll see. And change is good. Those two things.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope Santa visits you, and that you and Jill have a good time. And how are things in the Ozarks? I know you two are as prepared as anybody probably can be. You good?
Yeah, things are good, I think. I mean, it's kind of, you know, we're a little bit removed from a lot of craziness, I feel like, you know. And I like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not much. If anything, it gets a little boring here. But it beats the hell out of, you know, gunmen at rest areas and, I don't know, whatever. Trucks and Christmas markets, and you know, we're doing
I
fine.
Hear
yeah, we're yeah. doing fine, man.
Good,
we're
all right.
Good. But,
Merry Christmas.
Everything good your way, Jeff?
We're good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome, man. Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And
thanks, Dean.
All
always. Right.
Okay, brother. Bye bye.
Dean Henderson. And we'll be right back with hour two in just a couple minutes.